Okay, I'm Tana. I'm a compulsive overeater. So I got to say that, you know, I have public speaking is not my thing. I'm actually kind of afraid to public speaking, you know, small spaces, fine. I used to cave. Heights, I used to do mountain climbing, non-technical mountain climbing. You know, public speaking and yellow jackets are like my fears, you know, and I was so nervous about being a speaker for this retreat that I didn't even tell my home group that I was going to be here because I was afraid they wouldn't show up. So no self-esteem issues here, right? And they're probably going, oh, crap, we hear her every freaking Thursday night. Is this going to be the... I'm sorry? Oh, my socks?
He has one bed and one...
Yeah. Okay, so a little aside on the socks. I wear these socks that are deliberately mismatched. You know, my kids, when they were young, I could never get them to wear matching socks. So now I buy socks that are deliberately mismatched. That's part of my recovery of deliberately not being perfect. So one of the things that is really tough for me is the material I'm pulling out here is stuff that I developed for a retreat that I gave 10 years ago in the Bay Area, and then also maybe about, 7 or 8 years ago in Colorado. And there's so much information I want to give to you guys. You know, it's like stuffing, you know, 20 pounds of you-know-what into a 5-pound bag. And, you know, I believe that retreats are a time for refresh ourselves and renewal and all the happy stuff. But also, you will work and you will like it. Jawohl. I think retreats are a time to learn. I really do believe this. And when I still laugh about what we did to the Colorado group when we gave the relationships and recovery retreat, and it was all about the traditions and how pissed they were when they found out. It was like bait and switch, you know. But you know, it ended up being a really amazing retreat, and we were able to do amends right on the spot. It was lovely. So I can't do everything that we did in the retreat, but my gift to the group is I made photocopies of my notes that I created for that retreat, and so you have these notes on in All Our Affairs. It says, in All Our Affairs, OA GSI Retreat, February 2 through 4, with my lovely handwriting, because I didn't have a chance to, you know, my life has been crazy. But anyway, my life's always crazy. I'm powerless over my life and my food, you know, and my life is unmanageable. That is very true for me. Anyway, the purpose of this set of instructions is, it talks about how I have gone through each tradition. I've pulled out, you know, our tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. And I talked briefly about traditions 1 through 3 last night. You know, the principle of tradition one is unity. We are not the Stepford Wives. Unity does not mean uniformity. You know, and then I talk about how it applied to relationships. Our common welfare should come first. A healthy relationship or a healthy team in a department of work depends upon unity. And then I went through the OA 12 and 12, the traditions in the back. I just want to remind people that the OA 12 and 12, 12 steps and 12 traditions. They did not put the traditions in the second half of the book to make it twice as heavy and twice as expensive. They are there for a reason. We work the steps and then we work the traditions. And that is how we can practice these principles in all our affairs. That's one of the ways. And so in a sense, going through these traditions, questions in the back of the book and applying them to our daily life, it's really kind of like doing a detailed 4-step on relationships. And so that's one of the things that I find really helpful. And every time I go through this, I think, oh, crap, you know, I'm still not, you know, we're all here because we're not all there. I am definitely not there yet. You know, I still, you know, there's things in here that really touch to some of my core character defects in a way, those tradition questions, in a way that the steps didn't and the 4-step didn't quite touch it. So this is kind of like an in-depth look at relationships and how we can practice these principles in all our affairs. Also, let's see, what else was I going to say? You know, and then people who are new, how many newcomers do we have here? If I could have a show of hands. Okay, we got a couple newcomers here. So I want to just say, what is she talking about, traditions, and how does this have to do with food? And I just don't want to, you know, binge bags, boxes, and pounds of recreational sugar. Why do I even care about this? The reason why I care about this, it's because my relationships, number one, is what drove me to the food. It was my relationship with myself, which is what I got, I got healing through the steps. The traditions gave me my healing in my relationship with others and with groups other than just, you know, the OA group. So that's kind of why. So, you know, if, for example, you know, I'm kind of giving a little introduction here, but like in tradition one, questions, how well do I live by the first tradition? And some of these I pulled out of the questions in the back of the 12 and 12. You know, the traditions back here. Some of them I just pulled from my experience. So if there's anything wrong in there, I accept full responsibility. This is a lot of this is my own opinion, and I could be full of crap. So having said that disclaimer, the stuff that's in here and in here, right on the money. Anything that's additional is just my thoughts, and it's not, oh, it doesn't represent OA as a whole. So now that I've said all those standard disclaimers, so as you know, if, when I look at tradition one in response to my relationships, is my family or group at work divided into cliques? Am I indifferent to others in the workplace, in my family or social setting? Ooh, how many times have I eaten over people being indifferent to me? Yes. Absolutely. Thank you. Tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. As it applies to relationships, our common welfare should come first. A healthy relationship depends upon unity. So, and when I look at the tradition questions in the back of the 12 and 12, is my family or group at work divided into cliques? Are we indifferent to others in the workplace, family, or social settings? How many times did we, compulsive overeaters, eat food X because we felt excluded at work? You know, that's, you know, how many times have we been in cliques or excluded from cliques? And especially when we've been excluded from cliques, eaten over it. And so by going through these traditions, I get to look at my relationships. I get to look at how I practice my OA principles and all my affairs. And when I started going through these more like 15 years ago with a sponsee in Colorado who I was working with, we went through all of these together and we read the tradition, we wrote on how it applied to OA, we wrote on each tradition how it applied to our home life, to our marriage, to our family, you know, and we just did this exhaustive study. And it was like, wow, I still have a lot of work to do. You know, it's even though I'd been in program for many years, I still had a lot of work to do. There's a few people here that are new that weren't here yesterday. So I just want to really quickly qualify. I've been at OA 29 years. I've been abstinent from compulsive overeating for 25 years and abstinent from bulimia for 29 years. I just celebrated my abstinence from bulimia birthday like about a week ago. And I just also, it was like, wow. So I've been in program for a while. It does not mean I'm a guru at all. It just means the longer you're on program, the more dysfunctional shit you see. So I kind of know what not to do. And being I spent my first 10 years in the Bay Area, or 8 years or something like that, you know, I saw a lot of really fun stuff there. Crazy. But wonderful. I saw the most amazing recovery and the most amazing dysfunction. I love the Bay Area. I'm so glad I started there in program. And then I moved to Colorado, and I was there for almost 10 years. And then I've been back in Washington State almost 10 years. So I've been in recovery more years of my life than I was living at home. Yet those tapes from my childhood continue to plague me. So how do I deal with this? How do I practice my principles in all my affairs? I do it by working my steps with my sponsor in order. I do it by reading the big book and the literature and by working the traditions. So I talked a little bit about tradition one last night and just recapped it real quick here. So, you know, and then also I have I have the questions and I kind of wrote down some of my interpretation of the questions and some additional things to think about in your handout. And then also thoughts in which to meditate. And these are directly, you know, if you're having difficulty with relationships, maybe look at relationships on page 110 of the OA 12 and 12. And this is the original OA 12 and 12. They might be a little tiny bit different in your book because this is one of the first hardbound copies. But it kind of gives you the area to look at. You know, if you want to read about respect, responsibility, resolving differences, how to do this. Unity does not mean uniformity. You know, it gives you some areas of the book to look at if you're having issues in this area. And then finally, our first tradition of unity reminds us of an important truth. We are not alone. This is not a do-it-yourself, I'm doing it by myself program. It's a we program. If I could do this on my own, I was able to get, you know, 2 degrees in an advanced math and science. Did it give me any tools for dealing with life on life's terms without compulsive overeating? No. Did my library of nutrition books and self-help books get me to stop compulsive overeating? No. What got me to stop compulsive overeating is working the 12 steps and 12 traditions, reading the big book with my sponsor and with other people. Everything I say here, again, my own opinion, everybody's experience is different. I may be full of crap. And you can tell me afterwards. Or you can do a 4-step and tell your sponsor. Anyway, so we are connected to our fellow human beings. Our emotional and spiritual health depends upon the health of our relationships. The disease of compulsive overeating, which once isolated us, has now led us to OA. Here we are learning to connect with other people in ways that will nurture them and nurture us as we recover together. Page 117 of the OA 12 and 12. And I pull a lot from the OA 12 and 12 in this retreat rather than the big book. I throw in big book here and there. But because the traditions are kind of like the forgotten section of the book, it's like I used to go to a tradition meeting and think, oh, my God, this is boring. It's a tradition meeting. How can we get to the sharing so we can share the good stuff? You know, I was just not at all excited about it. But when I started applying the traditions to my relationships, to my marriage, to my work life, it made a huge difference in my food. When I am clean and sober with the food and clean and sober with my actions by practicing these principles in all my affairs, food doesn't really call to me. I live with 4 normal eaters that have my personal favorite binge foods all over the house. My 3 kids and my husband. Sometimes it makes me crazy. They'll leave like a half a candy bar out on the table, you know, or half a donut. I'm just like, bam, that's not natural. You know, I don't do that. Of course, there's thinking words and there's speaking words. Usually the bam is I toss it in the garbage, you know, which is huge for me because I'm an all-gone eater. Waste not, want not. Oh, my God, there's starving children in Africa. You know, but it's like you leave it on the table for more than 30 minutes, it's gone. Cat ate it, you know. So anyway, I don't have to eat compulsively. I don't get into my binge foods, which are all around the house. They don't even call to me. That is recovery from compulsive overeating. That, you know, I don't have to white knuckle it. There are days I feel a little bit hinky with the food, and I just think, ooh, I call my sponsor. I text somebody. Technology has been fabulous. To be able to text somebody, you know, there's not enough Snickers bars on this side of the Cascade Mountains to make me happy. So I'm not going to eat that first compulsive bite. Just wanted you to know. And I'll send that text off to Denver, you know, or down to San Jose, or maybe to one of you here. So anyway, you know, tradition 2, I'm just going to go through some of these very quick. You know, for a group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. The principle is trust. Tradition 2 is our guiding principle where we get our direction. There is a God and it is not me. And I talked about this a little bit last night. As applied to relationships, for a family, work, or relationship purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our informed family, work, or group conscience. Each member is God's trusted servant and no one governs. And so this I find really, as I mentioned last night, I find this really helpful at work. You know, I'm a new manager. I've been a manager for about a year now for a group of engineers that are spread around the U.S. And, you know, my family of origin would have been very autocratic. You know, dad's word was God's word, you know, and that was it. You know, and I would have been like, you will do this and you will like it. Yavol. You know, I mean, I would have been very authoritarian. But because of the traditions, I ask for people's opinion. I seek to build them up rather than direct, you know, push them down or, you know, tell them what to do. It's like more like, you know what to do. Tell me how you want to do it. You know, how can you be more effective? And so I try to, I give them direction, but I don't manage their lives. That's their higher power's job. So, this is so hard because I could talk for an hour on each tradition. But what I want to do is I'm going to talk for a while, and then Chris is going to, she's timekeeping me, and then we're going to stop, and you're going to write for 15 minutes. And then you're going to get up and share on what you wrote about, because I want everybody to work and get something from this and start that process, even if you just write on one question. So I'm going to skip to now tradition 3. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. The principle behind this is identity, inclusion, and membership requirements. When I walked into the doors of OA, I knew I had found my lost tribe. But who let them in? You know, it's like there's that, you know, even within OA, you know, we sometimes kind of eat our own. It's like, oh, they don't do the right food plan. Or at work, you know, they don't do the right process. We do the right process. You know, the only requirement for membership is a desire for healthy relationships in my team or in my family. In my team, it's the only requirement for membership is a desire to do the best job you possibly can and support the team. So, you know, it's a mutual desire to make relationships work. And even if the other person doesn't really want to make things work, as long as I'm showing that effort, I've kept my side of the street clean. I've done my part. So, you know, an example of how I use this tradition in my marriage is, do I share my feelings honestly with my husband? Do I encourage him to do the same? And do I listen to him with an open mind? Ooh, that's hard. Because, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to share my feelings honestly with my husband because he doesn't like conflict. And if I upset him, then he tends to kind of withdraw. And so it's hard to be able to, you know, if I share honestly, I have to be very careful about how I share honestly because he's a tender, sensitive person. And I kind of am a bull in a china shop. You know, when you look at relationships, you know, like the typical guy is kind of like, well, honey, that dress made you look kind of fat, you know, and the woman's like, oh, my God, you know, this is the stereotype, you know, of course, not everybody's like this. And the woman's like, well, you know, does this make my butt look big? What is he thinking? He's not saying anything. You must hate it. You know, it's like in my marriage, I'm more like, well, honey, those jeans make your butt look fat, you know, and he's more like, well, what does she think? I bet she's thinking this, you know, so it's really funny. We kind of have a little bit of a role reversal when it comes to feelings. And so one of the things I have to do in my relationship with my husband is I have a sincere desire to have a good, healthy relationship. Yes, I am honest to a fault sometimes, but there's a difference between, as I tell my kids, there's thinking words and there's speaking words. The jeans, I'm just using jeans as an example. And really, that's a hot button for me. It's not for him. He doesn't really care. He looks great in jeans. He's a gorgeous man. Anyway, but it's like if I say, you know, instead of saying to him, honey, those jeans, they just really aren't very flattering. You know, I would just, you know, I may say that instead of, man, those jeans make your butt look fat. You know, there's different ways I can say something. Or I might say, hey, those are a nice pair of jeans, but for this occasion, what do you think about this? And then I let it drop. You know, or maybe I don't say anything. Is it really necessary? Think, is it thoughtful? Is it helpful? Is it interesting? Is it necessary? Is it kind? So, you know, that's something, you know, I think about. Let's see, I talked a little bit about tradition 3. Tradition 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. At one point, this was the tradition of food wars. It's like people would say, well, each group is autonomous. But they forget. Except in matters that affect other groups or OA as a whole. And so if I do something in my group that could cause problems for another OA group, maybe I need to look at tradition 4. Which means that's one of the reasons why we don't have like you must follow a certain food plan. We give you guidelines in dignity of choice, but ultimately your plan of eating is between you, your physician, your higher power, and I strongly urge you to discuss it with your sponsor. So the principle of tradition 4, I believe, is autonomy with responsibility, and you know, as applied to relationships. What I like to say in my snarky comment is, it's not that you're wrong. It's just that I'm more right. You know, I am an individual, yet my behavior has a ripple effect on the world. So as applied to relationships, each individual in a family, for example, should be autonomous except in matters affecting the other partner, the family, the work group, or society as a whole. So in my family, if I want to be practicing tradition 4, if I go out and buy a new car, well, I can say, well, I'm autonomous. I make just as much money as my husband. Why can't I just go out and buy a new car? Well, that's not probably a good idea. Even though I am autonomous, we are a family. And even though, you know, I need to discuss this because my buying a car might impact the family as a whole. I mean, it can really, cars, you know, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, that's pretty big. It could be, you know, do I feel there's only a few right ways of doing things my way? your way is the highway, you know. Do I feel there's only a few right ways of doing things in my family, group, or relationship? And do I respect the rights of other groups, families, to have a practice that's different than mine? For example, you know, one of the things that's challenging my family is I have a daughter who identifies as LGBTQ and recently came out as transgender, and I keep thinking, no, just be a lesbian. It's a lot easier. We'll see how this plays out, but I just said, God spoke through me to her, and honey, I love you no matter what. I don't care if you're gay, lesbian, gender fluid, gender neutral, transgender, whatever, queer, whatever you want to be, just stay out of trouble, no drugs, and get good grades, and we're all good. That's what God said. In my mind, I was thinking, WTF. You already have, autism, ADHD, sensory processing disorder, and now you're throwing in this? Oh, my God. What is the, God, what is your plan here? Because I've dealt with enough with this kid, But I didn't say that, and God has worked with me through this child. Now, in my extended family, a lot of them are not going to be very LGBTQ friendly. And so, it's up to them. They need to work with their higher power as far as acceptance. If somebody has a different spiritual practice than me, or maybe they're a gay and lesbian, or a gay couple or a lesbian couple, and I'm a heterosexual couple, it's none of my business what the relationship is. That's between them and God. I need to respect I need to respect their lifestyles. Between them and their higher power, it's none of my business. So that's one way I live by the fourth tradition. I don't always have to agree with everything that somebody does, but I need to respect their right to be autonomous and not push my values on them. So thoughts on which to meditate. Tradition four challenges as individuals to strike a healthy balance between our responsibility for ourselves and our responsibility to each other while we grow together and work together as companions in recovery. At page 144 of the OA 12 and 12. Every family group relationship can manage its affairs as it pleases, except when it affects or threatens others, or like others in the family or relationship as a whole. The fourth tradition suggests that we take an honest look at our relationships and question our independently planned actions. Will my actions in any way subvert or compromise the relationship we've worked so hard on? So that's one way that I have looked at tradition four in my life. And then I have some things in here like autonomy versus responsibility, which we talk about page 137 and page 141 of the OA 12 and 12. Why our traditions exist, page 140. How to meet the needs of an individual but still operate within the traditions. That's a good one for meetings, page 142. Living by the fourth tradition means to learn to act autonomously even as we operate in harmony with others. And this is really important in my group as a manager is I have, I manage six very senior, members of my team. And they all were all about within 10 years of each other. We're ages like 40 to our mid-50s. And each one of them has, one or two degrees. They're incredibly bright people. They're probably all smarter than I am. And I have to give, I can tell them this is what our goal is, but I have to give them the autonomy to get it done in the way they think is best. So that's another way how I practice tradition four in my work. Tradition five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. The principle behind tradition five is it's our primary purpose, to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. That's inside and outside these rooms. Another way to say this is keep it simple, pass it on. As applied to relationships, each relationship has one primary purpose, to love and serve others in our relationships as an expression of our higher power's love. So how well do I live by the fifth tradition? These are some of the things that I look at. Do I concentrate sufficiently on my relationship's primary purpose? For example, at work, do I focus on the primary purpose of the group? For example, to complete a project. Do I focus my discussions on the goals and methods of achieving our primary purpose? Am I, nitpicking? Am I gossiping? Am I doing things that are really not productive? Do I welcome new people to my group, my family, or my circle of friends and give them my individual attention? Do I make a point to talk with them and give them, maybe my email address and phone number if appropriate? Do I ever volunteer to help them? That's one way that I can live by the fifth tradition in my community. a new person comes to the neighborhood, am I welcoming? You know, how I, you know, there's so many ways this can apply. You know, am I a mentor to others in my community or church or work environment? This, again, these are applications of Tradition 5. You know, on thoughts on which to meditate for Tradition 5. For OA groups and OA individuals alike, the fifth tradition helps us keep it simple. We find that when we focus on our primary objective of service, we can begin to eliminate a host of unnecessary concerns. As we concentrate on carrying the message of hope to others, we are empowered to use our unique talents in ways that are truly useful to others. The result is better than any outcome that we could have planned for ourselves, for we find a deep satisfaction in service as we join forces to share recovery in OA. That's pages 150 to 151 in OA 12 and 12. So, you know, some of the things to think about, to maybe meditate about. How is OA unique, and why do we need to stick to our primary purpose? In work, how is my team unique, and how do I need to stick to our primary purpose? You know, the primary purpose is supporting, you know, this large group of engineers worldwide and getting them as productive as possible. Am I joking with them on the phone, you know, instead of doing my work? Am I getting sidetracked with politics? Am I, you know, what am I doing to maintain my primary purpose? In the family, is my primary purpose to get along with my spouse, to work with my children, to have family meetings so we can have an informed group conscience? Or am I in that, you know, it's my way or the highway, I'm right, you're wrong? And, you know, and one of the things that's challenging is just because I'm in program and trying to practice these principles in all my affairs doesn't mean my husband's in program and practicing all these principles, because he is not a compulsive overeater. He's a normie, damn it. And although I'm sure I could pigeonhole him into something, you know. So at any rate, you know, and I've tried to enlighten him. Just word of the wise, trying to enlighten somebody about the error of their ways is not a way to enhance a relationship. So. Just, you know, and so what I have to do is all I have to just practice these principles on all my affairs, keep my side of the street clean. He may or may not be receptive, but as long as I'm doing my very best, you know, it's all I can do in asking God for help. And when I run into problems, I talk to my sponsor and she laughs at me. I keep her very entertained. So, okay, Tradition 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. The principle behind Tradition 6, in my opinion, is solidarity. Stay focused. First things first. And no, we don't mean life is short, eat dessert first. That is not on the table, just saying. So as applied to relationships, we ought never single-handedly endorse, finance, or lend our name to any outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our commitment to each other, like our commitment to our family, to our group, or the group we're in, our friend circle, my work group. So how well do I live by the sixth tradition? And then I have five questions here. You know, do I discourage others from plugging outside enterprises at work, community, family meetings? Or do I rationalize that people need to hear about this outside enterprise being discussed, so it won't hurt if I ignore the traditions this time? For example, bringing the ladies' selling scheme to work, to family members, distributing outside literature at work or OA. This is really one I have to watch at work, because not only am I an engineer by trade, but I also, in my one of the ways that I keep from eating compulsively, this is one of my tricks, is I work on art. And I do a lot of jewelry making, I do a lot of glass work, and I do metalsmithing. And, you know, when you're dealing with a glass saw, you can't be eating. You know, you can't, if you're working with a torch, you can't be eating. You have to be focused on what you're doing. And so it becomes, you know, some of my hobbies that I have are really handy because I can't be eating while I'm doing them. So consequently, I make a lot of shit. You know, I make a lot of art, but it's not, I'm not eating compulsively. And so what I do is I sell it. I sell it at galleries. And do I bring it into an OA meeting to sell? No. If people ask me about it, I'll talk to them after the meeting. At work, you know, people say, oh, I love your necklace. You know, can you make me one? You know, and I'll just say, well, they know that I do a lot of art. And I'm like, well, you know, I'd be happy to make you one, but let's talk about it after work, okay? You know, I don't It would be really easy to bring in all my jewelry to when I go into San Jose, you know, and to spread it out, and I can make thousands of dollars, literally, probably in a couple hours. I don't do that. That's not in keeping with tradition 6. I would be advertising an outside enterprise myself. That is not okay. I don't bring in my jewelry at OA meetings to sell. That would be an outside enterprise I'm bringing in. You know, some of the other things, how well do I live by tradition 6? When I share in my family, church, friendships, or circles at work, am I careful to focus on the needs of the group or the needs of the family, the needs of my group at work, or the relationship? Do I overemphasize outside experts and underemphasize my experience, strength, and hope of my OA experience? So here, you know, in this particular situation, an example would be when I share my experience, strength, and hope. I try not to bring in outside, you know, the neighbor has a better idea than you do. That would be an outside enterprise. You know, Bob the Builder has a better idea than you do. That's bringing in an outside enterprise. I can share my experience, strength, and hope. There are times where we need to get outside help. But I have to be very careful that I'm living by the 6th tradition. I'm going to stop now. I would like you to write now. You've got a packet. If you don't have a packet, let me know. I'll find you one. And let's write for 15 minutes. And then we'll open up for sharing. We're going to write about, there's all these wonderful traditions in your packet. Pick a question. Pick a tradition, like 1 through 6. Read this. If you want to read about it in your 12 and 12, that's fine too. And start writing about these questions. And see, now then you're already working the traditions in your program. And you can talk to your sponsor about it afterwards, about the resentment you're now developing because I'm making you work. Just saying.